I don't see them from a purely managerial standpoint. I think that implies some sort of performance review at some stage. I mean, not to be confused with control, but you know, how can you arrive at cause unless?
What was the reasoning, if you know, behind their removing him from the control of the commission that they've appointed to handle it?
I think that there were a lot of interests out there. I mean, frankly, there was a draft that originally had all of this under the control of the county commission, where they could hire, because they're politically accountable at least, and they could hire and fire somebody like this if it wasn't working out. And frankly, that was the Dade County model. If you want to know one of the lessons they might give you, and I can't say that you can compare them fairly, but the Dade County Inspector General was hired and fired by an independent ethics commission, and later it ended up coming under the control of the Dade County Commission after 5 or 6 years.
If I understand what you're saying, once an inspector general is chosen, we certainly would have the discretion to implement some procedures where perhaps there's periodic reporting or some sort of review of the inspector general.
I don't think that would be a problem as far as reporting goes, but you know, beyond that, there is no institutionalized oversight in this beyond your ability to retain or not.
Right, but understanding that, I pick up on Dr. Fiore's point, though, if we have the ability to remove, we have to have the ability to be educated as to whether removal should be sought,
and
it would seem to me at a future meeting, perhaps we could implement some procedure that at least gets us informed so we can perform that function that we're required to perform.
I'm thinking here of, you know, the equivalent of a slow code where certain investigations just drag on rather than get completed.
Right.
Someone has to have a sense of what is forward motion on these things and whether it's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And if it's not us, it has to be someone. So otherwise, I mean, I understand that the Inspector General needs to be independent of the County Commission. Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense to me. But I thought the role of this commission was, in fact, to do some of the things that couldn't be done in the county commission with respect to ethics
mm-hmm.
code.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, what I would recommend, especially for the inspector general, is that that be a topic for you as the selection committee before we get too deep in the woods, because you're not the selection. And it wasn't noticed as that kind of meeting.
Okay.
But it is a good idea. I know in here, in the Inspector General Ordinance, the person is required to publish periodic reports, you know, and update everybody. And it wasn't, I think, in the ordinance necessarily directed at any entity. Everything this person does is out there. Yeah. So it will be for you, too. And if you want to institutionalize procedures as a selection committee to evaluate how the person's doing.
Well, it's important to us to know
the problem.
Whether or not for the type of person we're looking for, is he going to be somebody who needs a legal background so as to advise the inspector general or make decisions for the inspector general and tell him what to do or object or anything? Or is he going to be, like someone said, with the accounting background who has his own way of auditing the reports and things and giving the inspector general directions as to that?
You're talking about the executive director of the
right,
office.
Right.
Yeah, I believe that they will work, and they will really work in parallel worlds. I don't think that the inspector general will get involved, that the executive director will get involved with the inspector general's business unless the inspector general suspects that a code of ethics violation has occurred based on the inspector general's investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Inspector
otherwise,
general?
I beg your pardon?
I assume the inspector general could violate the code of
yes.
ethics.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
In which case we would then have oversight.
Right. Yeah. Clearly, yes.
Can I, Mr. Berger, before you go on, just another thing you've said a couple of times I want to clarify. You keep saying, and staff. It would be significant to me in deciding what skills the executive director needs. If we can hire other people who fill in the holes in that, mm-hmm. it would certainly inform the decision I need to consider. Can you tell us, both from a budget perspective and just from a drafting perspective, what was envisioned as a staff component to this?
Right. Well, from a drafting perspective, the sky is the limit. Okay.
Wait a minute.
However,
from a budget perspective, our budget director just stopped breathing over there.
There are obviously limits. Okay, obviously limits. The county's budgeted $180,000 through the end of this fiscal year, September 30th, right? Through September 30th. As was the case in Dade, over a number of years, the staff grew. Ideally, it would be great to have an executive director, a separate advocate who would actually be sort of your prosecutor, separate investigators, and clerical staff to support the operation. I really do think, though, the person you're going to be looking for now will have to be...
Jack of all trades.
I was looking for the right word, yeah. Flexible enough and agile enough to be able to handle a lot of this. A Jill of all trades, exactly.
Yeah.
So you'll need somebody with those kinds of skills. They will be, this executive director will be developing, or certainly have the authority to develop personnel and management policies for the people he or she hires, will be the one in charge of coming up with a coherent budget, because there will be a budget reporting and requisition process that the county goes through, and like any other department, this department's going to be trying to get what they can based on what's left in the county budget. And the executive director is going to be the person who will be hiring these other folks when there's money made available to hire these other folks. Frankly, most conservatively, I see the hiring of an executive director who would then hire a clerical person, maybe sharing an investigator. I don't have a good feel for how much money this is. That's why I don't apply for the job, because I couldn't budget very well.
Okay. Can I ask one other follow-up question on that, on those lines? You said, does the, to the extent the person's performing the role of advocate, are they required to be a lawyer? Because that would certainly limit our choices, or could they bring in an outside lawyer? I mean, if we have an excellent candidate who's perfect in every way, but they're not a lawyer, are we precluded from selecting them, or is there a capability to have another, or can a non-lawyer be the advocate?
You are not precluded from hiring a non-lawyer here, but the advocate needs to be an attorney, okay? And just as this is a purely personal recommendation, being able to sift through the facts for the purposes of drafting advisory opinions, for example, for dealing with the complaints as they come in, to really make sure whether there's a legally sufficient complaint, and it is spelled out in the ordinance with reasonable specificity. Having that skill is not absolutely necessary, but it sure would come in handy. The other thing that this ordinance allows is if you can get someone to volunteer as the advocate, that's wonderful. Something else that the ordinance does call for is somebody who would serve as counsel to you as the board for these enforcement hearings. It has to be somebody separate from the staff. And again, that ought to be, obviously that'll need to be an attorney, but again, we encourage, if it's possible, to get somebody to volunteer to be counsel to your board. That would be...
If the inspector general is a licensed attorney, could he or she not do that?
I would not recommend that, because I think there may be instances where that could be a conflict of interest, where you'd have somebody who works with you on the one hand advocating a certain result and then is supposed to be...
Well, that concerns me, too. I'm hiring somebody that can have a conflict with me.
Well, the other administrative boards, as long as the person who is giving counsel to the administrative board is there to impartially give you counsel, to make sure not advocating a particular result, but just making certain that the procedures are followed and that you're following the letter of the law, that's what you're looking for counsel.
You think that person, that counsel, should be separate and apart from the advisory committee? Should there be? Because there are...
The advisory committee?
David Baker's committee.
Maybe I can handle that one. They could. I mean, certainly...
Ron, the there could be people who volunteer for that to act in that capacity. Generally, that role has been the county attorney's office in other boards of the county as a counselor to the committee. I suppose that they could act in that capacity, but there is some concern that they would have a conflict of interest as well, because you're dealing with employees and county commissioners and those sorts of folks. So I'm thinking that you probably do need an independent outside counselor,
but not full time.
I don't think it needs to be full time.
And it could be a volunteer.
Could be a volunteer, absolutely.
There are lots of local government attorneys who serve as volunteers to various local boards, so that's not out of the question.
Sure.
Not unheard of.
All right, I don't think we can get any suggestions here as to who to hire, and I think we can get a lot of suggestions as to who to hire. But it falls on us, so we've just got to work with what we have and come up with the person that we think is best all around for it.
Roger, just can I follow up on one comment, Mr. Berger? With regard to the issue of your statement, if I'm paraphrasing correctly, it would not be necessary, but it might be helpful to hire a person who has some legal experience for the ED position. You're speaking in terms of the ability to accumulate the facts, present it into some form of a fashion where it can come before an adjudicatory board, such as this commission when it sits in its adjudicatory capacity, plus also be cognizant of the Snyder-type issues, as well as draft an order that sets forth the factual findings, the conclusions of law, and puts it into fashion where this commission, sitting as a branch of local government, could issue a final order that can then be taken up by writ of cert. Mm-hmm. A long way of saying that's the reason that you're saying perhaps an attorney could be helpful.
Ideally.
As opposed to...
Right.
But if a person's been doing that already in his or her capacity or has that experience, you'd be comfortable with that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And again, just insofar as we are dealing with a limited budget, the fact that an inspector, an executive director who is also an attorney, could serve as your advocate, you'd be saving a position.
Questioning that, and this came up during my review. Those of you who are attorneys can advise me. Some of the high-ranking folks are local attorneys who are in private practice, but it looks like solo practice. So in what sense can they commit to a full-time job here? What happens to their law practice or their lobby practice? Obviously, they're subject to the state conflict of commitment rules, but I'm a little concerned about...
Well, they would have to give it up. Yeah. A lot of those who've applied wouldn't mind giving it up.
So we can make that a
yes, it's a requirement.
I would make it an exclusive requirement, because
okay.
If there's an outstanding candidate out there, I wouldn't say that necessarily excludes him or her,
but
I agree with Judge Rogers. Yeah. It'd be pretty hard for a person to keep a private practice open, plus devote full-time
right.
to this, and
this
also avoid and also avoid any issues that they have on the side.
The pay level, it better be a full-time job.
Yeah, $100,000 a year, you're entitled to his full-time attention.
If John Roberts wants to resign from the Supreme Court and take this job on a part-time position,
yeah.
I think we can accommodate him.
I don't know if I would or not. I'd question his comments.
I have some observations I'd like to share, just based on my own reflection as I went through the application. It seems to me that our wish list is pretty ambitious to get all this in one person, but nonetheless, it seems to me that first and foremost, this person has to have strong administrative and organizational skills, because after all, we're building this from the ground up. They're also going to be the public face of this commission on a day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
And I think that presumes some degree of persona for the ability to communicate with the public. I personally believe the litigation experience and the practicality of having a member of the Florida Bar at this stage would be helpful.
Would it necessarily need to be a Florida Bar?
Not necessarily. I don't know. That's really,
well,
I don't
know. He's going to present work with us before the courts. He has to have...
Well, that's another question. Will this, do you envision this person, if they are an attorney, appearing before circuit court, in circuit court?
Yeah.
Okay, then...
It could happen.
All right. Then that means Florida.
But would they be appearing as an attorney or as a person who's making...
Well, somebody's going to have to take the appeals up, and there is no budget to hire outside counsel to take the appeals. Okay?
You have a volunteer.
There's no money
that comes
for that.
With problems.
But, so somebody is going to have to do that. Maybe that'll be your advocate if...
Yeah, it has to be different than the executive director. Yeah. I'm really uncomfortable with trying to have an independent commission on ethics and IG if we're limited to people who are embedded in the Florida system already.
Well, you know,
I would like to be able to consider out-of-state people who have no relationships with. It doesn't seem to me that it would be that hard for them.
No, I don't see that as is excluding anyone. I'm only speaking in terms of practicality at this stage
Thank you. I want to clarify something. Did you just say we have to be prepared to defend cases on appeal, but we don't have our own appellate lawyer, so we have to use our executive director. Was this job advertised exclusively for lawyers? Because it sounds to me like you've defined this job to be only available to lawyers until we are budgeted to hire somebody else, which we're not budgeted to do.
No, the ordinance calls for an executive director and an advocate and counsel to the board and investigators and staff.
Okay. But if I understand the practicalities of what you just said, if we don't pick a lawyer as the executive director, we are left to the mercies of some volunteer to come forward. And if that's true, was the job advertised that way? Or was I have a number of very strong candidates who are not lawyers. And are we to throw them aside because for budgetary reasons we just simply can't hire them?
Well, there will probably be a budgetary issue, in, at least for the first 6 months, and that depends on how much you can hire. And you may be able to hire an advocate at a part-time. Remember, the advocate's position is going to be a little bit more limited, I should hope, that there won't be mountains of enforcement cases coming before you. So it will be a little bit more limited, and there may be some leeway that the executive director has in hiring somebody on a limited basis. So if there's somebody you feel strongly about is not a lawyer or executive director, I'm certainly not saying that you can't do it, and the ordinance doesn't limit you.
No, but what you're telling us is as a practical matter, we can't. That we have to pick a lawyer because as a practical matter, what I'm hearing is that we have to assume there will be some enforcement proceedings within the next 6 to 10 months, and we can only hire one person, and that person has to represent us at those proceedings. Is that not what you said?
Well, I don't know that you'd be limited to just hiring one person, because you do have 180,000.
No, let me maybe fill in the blank on that. The budget projection that we made was a projection. If the commission believes that we need to hire an executive director who cannot fulfill some of those responsibilities, and that's what the commission believes is in the best interest of the successful operation, then we will do whatever is necessary within reason budgetarily to make that happen.
Well, I don't think they're telling us what we have to do. I mean, we're technically constrained by the budget, but otherwise it's up to us.
We're on a slippery slope here. You know, they advertised, and they've said we wanted the type of person we want, and now we're actually trying to get them to tell us who to hire. And like you say, if we narrow it down to just lawyers, then all of these other people who are not lawyers, maybe we are allowing them to be excluded. So I think that each of us was hired for our individual ability to assist people. So I think we have enough to work on now. Let's go with that. And as I said, we'll have to make some adjustments.
And if we
need to hire
a part-time advocate.
Yeah.
I think it could at least be part-time initially.
I don't want to be misconstrued as advocating for lawyers. I'm just trying to get my own clarification.
Philosophers applied, but we're pretty good at analytical stuff.
Okay, let's move on.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
I think we interrupted Mr. Berger as he was going through his list. I got to number three.
The last thing I have, well, actually, in talking about budgets and such, that would be number four. This person will be your chief administrator. I think we went over that.
Okay.
And the last one is, and this is remote, so I really don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but the ordinance allows this commission to enter into agreements with other governmental entities for your services. And this executive director, presumably, would be the person who'd be negotiating those agreements. So negotiating contracts.
Interlocals.
Interlocal agreements, correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, I see that as something down the road, but it's just there, and that's five.
Can I ask Mr. Berger very quickly what the status is of the finances? Because I keep reading in the media about how the clerk has to hire new people to process.
I was going to give you a brief update on all the pending issues kind of at the end of the meeting.
We're going to get to it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think we actually interrupted Mr. Harbison. He was in the middle of his list.
Oh, well.
He sort of got aside.
I'm just lost.
All right. We ready to move on? Before we move on, we don't have any minutes from the last meeting.
That's correct.
Is that forthcoming?
It should be available on Monday.
Okay, then we'll, by common consent, agree to post suspend the reading of the minutes for the next meeting.
It would be very helpful to me, since I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Yeah.
If we have minutes about a week before.
Okay.
And I realize that the clerk has cutback issues and staffing issues these days, but it would be helpful.
I hope that, as I said, I hope to anticipate after we get the executive director here, maybe we can get some people come in from Dade County and other people who've done all this before and get a few on-the-job training program conferences with them and find out how they've handled some of these things.
Are those noticeable in public meetings?
If it's with you all, yes.
Yeah. Okay, next is the selection process. We've already talked about it since we've muddied it up a lot. Tell us about it.
Mr. Chair, before I turn it over to Leilani, I had suggested that she contact you all and get your top group so that it could spare you a little bit of the agony for this afternoon and to kind of give you an analysis of the candidates that seem to have reached more consensus levels. So turn that over to you, Leilani.
Thank you, Brad. Good afternoon, everyone. A lot's happened since the last time we saw you all. Since then, you've received a complete packet of all the applications, resumes, and related documents from everyone who applied for executive director as well as for IG. You've had time to review those and make decisions or